smoke with
those are on whenever you're ready.
Oh, so just before we start, this is one where I get to vote. I think because of the numbers. And this gives us.
We just have to be in. unanimity.
So we've already decided that we're doing that.
Okay. All set.
We're ready.
This is the City of Berkeley Lake Planning Zoning Commission meeting for November 9th, 2010. I'm calling the meeting to order. Professor, do you think a roll call on this, or did you just put that in the minutes?
I just usually include it in the minutes. Okay. I've got the three of you as attending.
Very well. For the commission members present, you can see the agenda for today, starting with the minutes approval. Please review the minutes.
I make a move. We accept the minutes as presented.
It looked good.
Well.
Yeah, we won't be able to approve them.
We won't be able to approve the minutes because of the lack of sufficient voting strength.
Well, even if Rodney seconded it, if Sally abstained.
Right. So we'll set aside the minutes approval for this particular meeting.
Okay.
Make a move, we table the minutes. You can't second that.
I'll second it, yeah. All right. Sounds good to me.
Until the next meeting.
Right. All right, table stands. You've seen the agenda. Set a prior vote after your call.
We usually do take a vote.
Okay. I would entertain a motion for approval or changes to the agenda.
I move we approve the agenda.
A second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Ronnie, you voted in favor, just to be
clear. The agenda is approved. It takes a little getting used to these numbers.
I know.
All right, we'll move into old business. We have a bylaws amendment related to voting. And so I'll ask you to give a suggestion of this practical.
Following the September meeting where we discussed this at pretty fair length, I was tasked with investigating whether allowing the majority of the quorum to be sufficient to approve a business item before the commission. I emailed the city attorney about that and asked him that question, and he said no. He did not think that that was appropriate, and that he would recommend that we require a unanimous vote in the event that there are only three voting members present. This scenario could happen, but this can also happen if four of you were here and Rodney isn't voting. So it could come up relatively often that we would only have three voting members present. Mm-hmm. And that seems consistent with the other bylaws that I've looked at, where there's, you know, five members, three are a quorum, they require a unanimous vote to pass something. So, representing the majority of the commission. So that's how the language has been revised. And I'm going to be taking this to council, too, because officially they're the ones that...
Do they have a similar thing?
Adopt. No.
But they're five of them plus the mayor, right?
Right. They have a different setup, and a quorum of council is four members plus.
So it takes three to pass it.
The mayor, right. And it takes three, but there's, you know, it's just, but with that extra person in there and the way that they have it set up, it doesn't present the same problem. So did the language make sense when you read it? I just want to make sure that it's clear. You know, I've been looking at it sort of up close for a long time, and I don't want there to, I don't want to have gone through this process and have it still be confusing at the end of it.
So just for clarity, the language, based on this change, that the a voting quorum is defined as three votes.
A quorum and a voting quorum. They're
a
the one and the same.
A quorum. They're the
right.
Same.
And somewhere in here it says the chair only votes to break a tie.
That's right.
Or
well,
the
or
chair.
Okay. Yeah, the last sentence in that paragraph, the chairs or interim chairs vote shall count only when necessary to ensure a quorum or break a tie vote.
Mm-hmm. I guess if the attorney says, but I still don't like it, because it ends up that unless all five of us are here, we have to be unanimous. I mean, it's like a jury. We're going to have to arm wrestle each other until we just come to a decision.
Or just table whatever it is.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. Wait a minute. What would happen in the event of four?
In the event of four, there's still just three. If it's,
but see, you don't get
to vote. One of you serves as a chair, and you're not able to vote unless to ensure a quorum or break a tie.
That's the part. Mm-hmm.
So it just seems like there's not very often when there are five of us here.
That has been a problem lately, and it was something that we had discussed when we went to a regular meeting schedule, which I think has been a benefit.
I do too.
Generally speaking, but I think that that has been.
But on the other hand, what it's saying is that there, if there are going to be a limited number of attendees, then there's a very, very high standard for passing an action. That affects planning and zoning, and that's as it should be. I mean, the unanimity is required, which is very high, but if there are only going to be less than the full number of planning and zoning commission members in attendance, then the standard should be high.
Well, and I would say that in general, this board's been, on pretty good terms. We had some disagreements about the tree ordinance, but you know, it would, you could see it. You know, if you just had a cantankerous individual up here, it could be a nightmare.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true.
That's true. It would be.
And one of the things we discussed is whether the chair should become a voting member of the board. But in a lot of the other jurisdictions that I looked at, the chair does not vote. And this is how they do it. And what I think that it does mean is that. And obviously anything can happen once a month, you know, just on a fluke that somebody can't attend. But generally speaking, members that take on this commitment will sort of need to commit to the schedule to the best that they can.
Right.
And hopefully
we can adopt it, and then if it ends up hamstringing us, you know, two or three times in a row, we just have to do something. But
right.
The problem is if it comes up that we need something right now, we've got to change the bylaws and get it approved by the city council before we can do it. So, you know, we do.
It's just going to force people to come to the meetings. I guess if you really make a commitment to it,
I had an image of the Berkeley Lake gendarmes coming in the dragon.
Yeah.
Well, I guess attendance, this is the.
Well, if you get three or four, you have to have a unanimous vote, essentially. Which, as long as we can get along, that should work.
Yeah.
And the concern about allowing two people to approve something would be that the remainder of the commission, while not present, may have thought it was not the right thing. And then, really, you have the minority of the commission
making
that decision, and that I guess seemed to be a bigger problem.
I just, if there was a way when there are four of us here for the chair to vote, would at least eliminate a lot of.
What happens in that scenario is if the chair is here, there could be a tie.
Right.
If the chair is here and voting, and required to vote, and there are four of you, then you could have a 2-2 vote and end up in,
then
a,
it doesn't pass.
In a deadlock. So it kind of doesn't really...
Doesn't matter.
That may not help. And I understand, really, and looking at it, it just seemed very plain to me that attendance is...
Important.
Really important, yeah.
Okay. All right. Make a motion to approve the bylaws change.
I hear a motion. Can I have a second?
A second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor, say so by aye.
Aye.
Aye. That's the chair's voting. All there being no others present there, with, you know, voting in opposition, the motion passes. Okay. Thank you. Let's move to new business. The this advice amendment to Chapter 78 zoning regarding non-conforming structures and expansions, this relates to certain peculiarities we have seen in our existing code affecting primarily structures in the older part of the city along Lakeshore Drive. This is our effort to straighten out some of those issues. Lee, would you speak to this, please?
We talked about this in September as well, and we had looked at some different ideas about how we might want to change things. I tried to go with the simplest change, and Duluth was one of the main cities that I looked at. We had added all of those criteria for the non-conforming expansion variance in the last 4 years, since I've been here, that was added, to clarify the way that the commission had always operated. But this year we had a case that came forward that seemed to have some merit about, you know, getting a variance to expand a non-conforming structure where the expansion did not comply with zoning requirements. And I looked at some other jurisdictions, and basically I think the way to go with those scenarios is to allow you all the opportunity to consider a variance. They still need to meet a burden, the same burden that they would meet for any variance. Why can't you comply, basically? And if they can't, in that particular case, they had a topographical situation in the back that prevented them from putting this addition back there, and there were some legitimate justification for approving the variance. This still allows for the administrative variance in the event that the expansion does conform, which is how we've done it. But now somebody could apply to come before the full board to expand a non-conforming structure when the expansion doesn't conform. And again, certainly you don't have to approve that. I mean, it may be that the case doesn't merit approval, but at least they have an audience.
Right.
So that was the point behind it. I just had to make a few tweaks to the variance section to pull out that whole, you know, subsection related to non-conforming expansions. I didn't see any other code that did anything like that. So I don't feel like we're, you know, blazing crazy trail by getting rid of that stuff. That would have been an exception to have that in there, and it was when we added it. The other thing that this does is we had always had sort of cryptic language about non-conforming, a building occupied by non-conforming use. That's not really the same thing as a non-conforming structure. That's really all about a use, and we need, and it's important to be clear about non-conforming structures. They're a different animal than non-conforming uses. It's all about just meeting those certain performance standards when it comes to dimensions and things like that. Non-conforming uses typically are a bigger deal than non-conforming structures. But obviously, if you have a use in the zoning district that's not approved, that's something that, you know, you may want to deal with.
Is that the non-conforming structure when it's damaged, is that usually the case, this language here?
We have more stringent requirements than others. Some others allow for a greater percentage to still be rebuilt. We're saying, you know, for principal structures, if it's 40% or less, then you can rebuild it. So you know, that's been in the code, and I didn't change those numbers. I figured there was some reasonable basis for having had them there in the past, and jurisdictions vary as to what numbers they use there. But that's typical to do it that way, to require, if there is damage exceeding some amount, to require them to come on and bring it into compliance. That's not unusual at all. We do, breaking out accessory structures is something that is kind of nice that we do, because we've sort of given them, it's just their own little, we know how to deal with them differently. But anyway, that I try to keep a lot of it the same, just sort of couching it in the non-conforming structure terminology rather than building occupied by non-conforming use. So,
so in essence, this language would allow the owner of a non-conforming structure to approach the commission for a modification. The door would automatically be closed by code.
Right. This is
so this puts more flexibility for that unique situation into the code.
And this isn't written in here, and it may need to be at some point down the line. But the reason that that this had always been a thorn in my side, and I had talked to Jean a lot about it too from our past city experiences, was that we had both been in cities where folks would be allowed to extend non-conforming structures as long as they kept that same setback. It's not clear in here that that's the requirement. I haven't put any parameters on this. That's the precedent that we just set with the folks that were here, but technically speaking, no variance is a precedent. They're all unique unto themselves. So that is what I think makes the most sense. You know, although you can imagine a situation perhaps where you have a non-conforming building that's, say it's a 12.5-foot setback and they're set 10 feet off the line. And they need to be 7.5 feet off the line. Well, you may have a new building coming in that asks for that same variance. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so this was just sort of, you know, if you would give it to a new construction scenario, is it, you know, would you limit yourselves to not being able to do it for an existing structure? Since we do have, that's a fairly prevalent
well, I like flexibility.
Situation. But again,
maybe
it doesn't...
Maybe somebody needs a wheelchair ramp, you know, or something.
Right. So. It doesn't mean that you have to grant the variance.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It just means that they have the opportunity to be heard. The other thing I did was this has always driven me nuts, and I don't know, Rodney, if you'd ever read it before, but the administrative variance language I tweaked a little bit because... the criteria for Rodney to approve one of those has traditionally been that he found or believed that all of you would grant the variance. I think that's strange language. I think it's hard to speak as to what other folks would do. And so Swanee had this language that's much more, I think, reasonable, which is, this is on the back page, section 78367. And so I've just changed it. Basically, the chair should find the intent of the ordinance can be achieved.
Okay.
And equal performance obtained. So he's, you know, it's
yeah.
not,
yeah.
it's just a little bit more.
Yeah. A little more quantitative and less mind reading.
It's a little bit less mind reading, right. It does take out that you have to meet all the requirements for variance consideration because the expansions to non-conforming structures traditionally don't meet those. There's not anything unusual about the size, shape, or topography of the lot. And I think that that's typical of administrative variances. The notion there is that they're such a small issue that we've sort of given somebody the authority to grant them without having to meet this huge burden of X, Y, and Z things.
Right.
So that is therefore why that change is there.
I'm comfortable with both these changes. Can we do them as one motion?
Yeah, I think you can just say, you know, I move to submit the proposed ordinance amendment.
Let me just say that Lee and I talked about this earlier. You have an option, just and you're free to vote on this tonight. But technically, you had the option to simply accept this as information and then have a public hearing on a change of this sort at the next meeting or some subsequent meeting. There's no particular need to do that, but I just want you to be aware that you have that choice.
I'm getting it done.
When I had emailed y'all, that is the typical way that we do things. It's not required by code that we have a public hearing before the commission.
Okay. Well,
but
my post on
that. Okay, you know, these are, you know, one way of looking at these are things that, in some sense, will add some flexibility into the code that is not too controversial. We still go to city council.
It does. It will have the usual process.
There's probably no need to delay, as long as we have unanimous consensus.
Right.
I move we accept these changes.
No second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. Chair voting. Motion passes. Okay, we are coming to third base, home base.
Post second. Rounding.
Third base.
Tell us about
so, this is the administrative variance. this variance I granted at the request of the property owner who we dealt with at our last meeting.
I think it was actually in August.
And what we voted on was what we had before us. And what they presented did not reflect all of the modifications that they intended to do. We were not aware of that. Once that was discovered, they were in a position of having to either postpone construction, wait for another meeting, and so forth, or to submit another variance request, right? Am I following the sequence correct? And so they were offered the opportunity to submit another variance request. We can explain the details of what was missing and what was granted. But I can tell you the request did meet the requirements of the ordinance and that it was a minor modification. I think this was the most straightforward way to address their situation.
Why wasn't it presented?
They left it off the site plan. They didn't have a good reason why, but they had just not included it. It was just an oversight on their part. The portion of the, and you may have, I don't know if you've driven by and looked at the front porch mm-hmm. addition, but. Mm-hmm. So, if you're looking at the house, it's to the right of where they had done the expansion, the covered porch. They were going to have an unenclosed sort of a deck area onto the porch that also entered the front door. It was a relatively small area, and it met all the other setback requirements. So, they had just...
So, what we saw, it was enclosed, but what they did was more of a deck?
Well, what they still did, everything, they built everything that you saw mm-hmm. and had not presented this unenclosed deck portion, this small area mm-hmm. that was adjacent to that screen porch.
Okay.
When they, and the way that I
caught
it.
They probably didn't think of that as building.
Something to that. Somehow it was just not, they weren't thinking that that was significant. When they came in for the building permit and presented the site plan, I always check what's submitted with the variance site plan, and they weren't the same. So we had to do something about that. And
So their addition by rule was, come on, let it go. And then Lee and I talked and said, well, we can't let it go. You know. So they paid a minor penalty in having to receive it for the administrative variance. But that seemed to be the fair thing to do. So if you would generally agree, that's the appropriate use of that authority. All right.
I just have to make sure some people are speaking.
Well, that's true.
I mean, not in this case.
No, but it does tell you that, you know, all you see is what you see. And, you know, you have to stress with the citizens that that's what we're, that's what we're approving. If you depart from...
Which we did say in the meeting. That was
right. The plan that we're voting on, that's on you. Bad things can happen.
It's also noted in the application that they are basically agreeing to build as, you know, for the plan submitted. The significance is to get the word out in the community that you need to know what your plan is when you come to this board, and you need to present that plan, and you need to build that plan.
Right.
And if you're not, you know, in this case, they were, I think, trying to handle it as homeowners, didn't have a lot of experience with building and that sort of thing, and just, you know, even though I spent a great deal of time working with them to try to get all of their ducks in a row, it was never on the plan. So I didn't know that it was out. I didn't know it existed. I didn't know it was in their
minds.
They
had an architectural plan, so you would think that the architect would have included a way to get onto the porch. But, it, you know, that's always something that I've thought about, because we tell people to do this, 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 and then I don't know if there's a follow-up to that. Like, you know, decking that has to be taken down, or a dock that has to be taken down because you're, you know, you're building another dock here. And you don't know if that was ever followed up, if they've ever taken this down. I mean, two driveways, curb cuts, you know, you still have the curb cuts. So you don't know if there's a follow-up to say, you know, you get one curb cut, you have to take the other one up. So,
yeah, I don't think we have that rule, but the other stuff is true. And we've had variances before where there were two docks and one had to go. That was a condition of variance approval. The docks get tricky because Gene doesn't have access to the lake, but he does have access, I mean, in this particular case, would probably have noted, or the building inspector would have noted a discrepancy in the plans. Thankfully, I caught it at the onset of the project.
Well, the city needs a boat so he can get out on the lake and...
He should have access, though. I mean, there should be a follow-up as far as checking to see if things are done in a timely fashion.
Yeah,
and a lot of times the way that comes to pass is other folks who are just aware.
Yeah, but they shouldn't be in that position.
Right.
Shouldn't have to be in that position.
All right, well then, there are no citizens present, so we'll be skipping the citizens' comment and entertaining a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded.
Yes.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, chair is voting.
It's my favorite meeting ever.
Yeah, this is good.
This closes.
Thank you.